My name is Rick. If you're visiting, I'm one of the pastors here at Jubilee Church Farnham, and it's really lovely to have you with us. A couple of things before we start. The first one, again, just a general encouragement to come along on Thursdays in August. We'll be at the Waden Christian Centre. It actually came out of an idea that Joe Wilcox had, and I was speaking with Joe to get together. And we're also going to do something we've called a Helps Swap Board. So in the Waden Christian Centre, we'll have somewhere that you can indicate what you can do. But basically the idea that if you need some help, we'll put that down one column, and if you're able to give some help, we'll put it on another column, and we'll try and match them up. So it could be do some shopping, it could be mow a lawn, it could be take the kids on the school run, whatever it may be, and we'll just see how we can begin to help one another. So that'll be a part. But it's also going to be a great opportunity, if you're not part of a growth group yet, to come along, as Nick said, and just meet people, connect, and then see how see where you want to get connected in terms of a group. So I would really encourage you to do that. That's the first three Thursdays in August. Secondly, Sean and Haley are on holidays now for a couple of weeks, so I would really ask you to all pray for them, pray for a time of refreshing. So much has happened for Sean and Haley in the last couple of months. Eldest son getting married, Waverley Woods are gathering. It just was such an extensive period of busyness. So please do pray for them for their holiday. That'll be a real refreshing time for them. I also noticed, I think it must be Toby's mum. Yeah, Toby's mum, all the way from Nigeria, come to visit your second grandbaby. So congratulations very much, and lovely to have you with us here this morning. Indeed, any visitors are very, very welcome. We love having you. So this morning, I want to start with a question. And the question is, have you ever thought how God sees you? When he looks on us, when he looks on you, when he looks on me, what is he thinking? How does he see you? And as I've just asked that question right now in the moment, my follow-up question is, what was the first thing that popped into your head? How does God see you? And was that thought influenced by how good or not so good you've been this week? Did you shout at the kids this morning? Hopefully they were your kids. Did you cut someone up in the fast lane to get to church on time? Or perhaps you did some shopping for an elderly neighbor yesterday. Or maybe you've already been up and had a couple of hours prayer before coming to church this morning. And how much do these things have to do with how God sees us? And the other really important question is, how much do these things have an impact on how we see and feel and think about how God sees us? What does God think when I've just thought that thought? And it's a really interesting question. And its impact is often much deeper than we recognize. So this morning I want to look into it in a little bit further detail. And I want to do this primarily through the life of the Apostle Peter. Big figure in the Bible. And I want to have a look at him. So how does God think when he thinks of you and me? You know, in the scriptures, the Bible is really clear about a couple of things. It says God created all things. God knows all things. God is all powerful and God is everywhere. The scholars, the theologians, call these things the attributes of God. And they use big words like omnipresent. God is everywhere. He's present at all times. He's not limited by space and time. John 3:20 says, God knows everything. He is omniscient, is the word. And Genesis 18:14 asks a rhetorical question. It says, is anything too hard? Or maybe your version says, is anything too difficult for God? God is also omnipotent. He is all-powerful. And he is able to do all that he decides and all that is according to his holy will. Indeed, Ephesians 3:20 says that God is able to do far more than we could ask or think. So the scriptures are really clear. God is all-powerful, God is everywhere, and God knows everything. So now think about that question that I just asked you again. God knows everything about you. He is everywhere you have been, and he's all-powerful. How does God see you? What does he think when he thinks of you and he thinks of me? And you see, that can be a really daunting and even a scary question if we don't have a right concept and a clear understanding of how God sees us. So let's have a look at the life of Peter so we can investigate this a little more. Starting in the 5th chapter of Luke. So if you've got your Bibles or your apps, the 5th chapter of Luke. Starting in verse 1, I'll read it for us. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But I will do as you say and let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled for their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they saw, and they came and they filled the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For amazement had seized him and his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear, from now on you will be catching men." Your version might be fishing men, fishing for men. When they brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him. This is a great Bible story, quite well known if you know the Bible. Jesus teaches from Simon Peter's boat and then asks him to put out to deeper water. And at that moment, Simon is tired. He's the fisherman. And he says to Jesus, "We've been out all night, we've worked hard." That's my phone. I don't even know how that happens, right? I didn't say Siri. Nothing. Good. If you don't get it, Siri, then I'm on the right track. We're going to get it by the end of the day. So Peter, even though he's tired, even though he was the fisherman and this carpenter is telling him to set out to deep water, he accepts begrudgingly. And yet, a miraculous catch comes in. More fish than they can handle. And at this moment, Simon Peter falls to his feet and he says, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." See, in the moment of the miraculous, Peter had a revelation of Jesus. He called him Lord and was immediately aware of his own sinfulness. But the wonder of the story What you really need to pick up on is that at this point, Jesus does something dramatic. And he looks down at Peter and he calls out his prophetic destiny. Simon Peter said, "I am a sinful man." And Jesus said to him, "You'll be a fisher of men." Peter saw his own sin, but Jesus saw the prophetic call of God on Peter's life. And what do you see? You see, Jesus has paid the full price for our sin. On the cross, Jesus has set us free from sin. Sometimes, though, our focus can get narrow. It can get narrowed down, and we can begin to see sometimes only our sin. And we can begin to think that God sees only our sin. And this can have such a dramatic impact on how we view God, how we view ourselves, and really, ultimately, how we live life. And I wonder whether you have called out at some point, called out to God, just like Peter did, and say, Go away from me, I'm a sinful man. But at that moment, Jesus knew Simon Peter. Jesus knew Simon Peter's sin, but Jesus knew something else as well. Jesus knew something more. He knew that actually at that moment, Simon had begun his journey to becoming Peter. You see, the story doesn't stop there. We see later in Matthew 16 that Peter has a further revelation of Jesus. In Matthew 16, starting in verse 15, he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." And we see here again that Jesus is speaking into Peter's destiny. The Father gives Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon, son of Jonah. And look at the way that the Bible captures the words here, captures the language. Jesus says that the Father gives you, Simon Bar-Jonah, a revelation of Jesus as a son of the living God. It's not flesh and blood. He uses Simon Bar-Jonah. Then Jesus recognizes this, declares that Simon is now Peter, and upon the rock of that revelation, he will build his church. And we see as the story goes on that Peter is making further steps into becoming all that God has called him to be. And yet a few verses on in Matthew, a few verses on, Peter receives such a sharp rebuke. Jesus himself, can you imagine this? Jesus himself tells him to get behind me, Satan. Wow. And furthermore, then, as the story goes on, Peter denies Jesus three times at the most crucial of times. What are we to make of all of this? I think what's really clear through the scriptures is that the call of God on your life doesn't insulate you from trial, temptation, and even failure. But importantly, those trials, those temptations, and those failures do not negate the call of God on your life. Peter, you will be a fisher of men. Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. Peter, get behind me. And Peter, three times you will deny me. You see, life is full of trials and temptations and opportunities to fail. It's just one of the mysteries of life. Pressing into God, our process of becoming more Christ-like, is not always a straight or even an easy road. But importantly, Peter had begun to see himself as Jesus saw him. And this is so important for you and for me this morning, to see more and more how Jesus and how the Father sees us, despite our trials, our temptations, and despite even our failures. So even after Peter's betrayal, we see in John 21 the gracious hand of Jesus restoring Peter to his rock-like character. John 21 verse 15 says, "So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' And he said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And he said to him, 'Tend my lambs.' And he said to him a second time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And he said to him, 'Shepherd my sheep.' And he said to him a third time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' And Peter was grieved because he said this to him a third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Tend my sheep.'" See, Jesus asked Peter three times, as many times as Peter denied Christ, "Do you love me?" The power of and importance of loving Christ. Peter is restored back into intimacy with Jesus. And even though Peter is grieved that Jesus is asking three times, the repetition, the sense of, "Do you really? Do you really?" Even though he's grieved, Peter finds his voice loud and clear each time, and he says to him, "You know that I love you." And as this encounter unfolds, shame drops off Peter. He's again drawn into the closeness with Christ, and he is transformed into a world-changing disciple through the power of the Holy Spirit, which is poured out on Pentecost. You see, Jesus spoke the future into Peter's present because Jesus sees Peter as he really is. And the same can be said for us. Any one of us that needs to be delivered from negative thinking in our perception of ourselves to find wholeness, anyone that's been battled by the trials and the temptations and the hardships of life, even the failures, this morning we need to hear his voice saying, "Come unto me and rest. Receive my forgiveness and hear my words spoken over you." You see, I think there's four reasons why God sees us this way, why God delights in us. Number one, the finished work of Christ. He has given all. He has paid our debt. There's nothing outstanding, nothing owing. The enemy is defeated and Christ is victorious. It is finished. And those that receive Jesus Christ as Lord are new creatures, born again. The old has gone, the new has come. We're transferred into a new kingdom. And you see, it's not our past that defines us anymore. It's how the Lord sees us. Yes. So the finished work of Christ. Number two, the gift of the Holy Spirit. How wonderful that it is that a member of the Trinity comes and is being given to us and dwells inside of us. Yes. That through the power of the Holy Spirit, we become more and more Christ-like as we work out our salvation in fear and trembling. And I don't think we grasp, I don't think we fully understand how beautiful that is to the Father, to see the Spirit working in us. Number three, the nature of God. So the finished work of Christ, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the nature of God, his loving kindness towards us, his covenant love for his people. This word, loving kindness, We read in Exodus 34, verse 6 and 7, "Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. He keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgressions and sin. He has determined all that we will become, his loving kindness towards us.' And finally, our destiny is his future bride. We are being molded, shaped, and transformed into a spotless bride in preparation for the Son to come back. It's our destiny, and it's certain. You see, the fact is that God knows the end at the beginning. He knows how the whole drama of our life and indeed history wraps up. And he is certain that there is a bride being prepared for his Son. It is real and it is true. And because it's real and true, God declares to us in the Song of Solomon, "You are beautiful." And he knows it to be true. Furthermore, the Apostle Paul talks about one of his favorite phrases is being hidden in Christ. So how does God see you? How does God see me? How do we answer that question? When God thinks of me, what does he think? Well, you see, he sees you as you really are. He sees the finished article. He sees Christ. He sees you as the bride of Christ. He sees you with all of the calling and anointing of God operating through you. He sees you and he knows the true you. The real you. And as Jesus called out to the prophetic destiny of Peter, he's calling to each one of us this morning. He's calling. And my encouragement to you is find your voice and speak boldly to him. Say, "I love you. I love you. You know I love you." See, if you're believing the lies of the enemy about yourself, if you've had negative perceptions about who you are or how God sees you, then I want to pray with you this morning. If you've heard his call to you this morning and you want to unlock that world-changing disciple in you, then I want to pray with you this morning. And indeed, if you're here visiting us and you've heard his voice for the first time this morning, and you've seen how he knows you, and you want to receive Jesus as Lord, then we'd love to pray with you. So God looks down on us, looks down on you, looks down at me, and he sees his prophetic future. He sees you hidden in Christ. He sees you as the future bride, spotless and clean. And he calls you to come near. So as the band comes up, and as we worship the Lord now, let's allow the Spirit to minister to us and confirm and reveal to us exactly how God sees us. So let's stand. Lord God, thank you that you've paid the ultimate price. Thank you on the cross you bore all of our sin. You suffered with an agony that we cannot know. You suffered with a physical pain, but also a spiritual agony that we cannot begin to understand. And you did all of that to bring us back into a relationship with the Father. You came to save us. And Lord, I pray as we worship you now and we lift our eyes that you speak to people here. Lord, I pray that by your Spirit you speak into the hearts of people and you declare, you speak over them your calling, your prophetic destiny for people here this morning. Those that are broken, show them that you are the healer. Those that are believing negative thoughts, the lies of the enemy, show them the truth. Lord, I pray that you strengthen people. You encourage people.
Yes.
Renew our minds, as the scriptures say, Lord, this morning, even as we worship you, as we study your word. And in none of this we get high, we get mighty, we simply bow down before you.